Time and time again, we have seen the important role that religious leaders, faith-based organizations, and communities play in responding to health emergencies and protecting the health of most vulnerable. The COVID-19 pandemic was a vivid demonstration that when health is at risk, everything is at risk. That's why all 194 WHO member states are now negotiating a legally binding agreement on pandemic prevention, preparedness, and response. Countries have made good progress, and there is broad agreement on most aspects. But there remain critical areas where they have not yet reached consensus. At the same time, the negotiations are being made more difficult by a torrent of mis- and disinformation. More than ever, we need the voices of faith communities to call for a strong and effective agreement and to counter the falsehoods about it, just as you did during the pandemic.
All right, Sandy Rios with you. I know that was kind of hard to discern. But doesn't he sound nice? He's just really concerned about your health. And he said they need religious leaders to help them. This is the World Health Organization, in case you missed it. That's Dr. Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus. He's the leader. He has been for a number of years. And that's his kind, friendly voice asking religious leaders to help him to institute new rules, which we're going to talk about today. And he wants to fight these memes and disinformation that's getting out, and he needs religious leaders to help him kind of quiet that. Well, what's this all about? Because it sounds so friendly. Well, at the end of May of 2024, the World Health Assembly is going to vote on two instruments that, if passed and implemented, will usher in a digital gulag from which there will be no escape. And if the WHO gets its way, it can take over your health care in case of a pandemic, including mask mandates, forced vaccination, quarantines, and lockdowns. It will require massive surveillance state using digital IDs, which will track nearly every aspect of your life. And if you step out of line, it can be used to sever you from your bank account and your credit card. It's urgent that people wake up, and that's why we're talking about it today. We're going to be talking about it with a physician, Dr. Katarina Lindley, who's very involved in fighting back on this. And she's just a captivating guest, has a great story, so I hope you'll stay tuned. Meanwhile, you know you can call us at 662-821-2040. You can write us at sandy@afr.net. And if you are so inclined, we need your help to fight abortion. I think that Preborn has unlocked the key on how to save babies' lives in a way I haven't seen any other organization do, and that is going directly to the moms, not through government, not passing laws, going to the moms and providing ultrasounds where they can see their actual baby. And it's working. It's working. When they see the baby in their womb, they just, most of them, 50, 60, 70%, depending on whose stats you're looking at, decide to keep their babies, if not keep them, to adopt them out. It's just it's a beautiful thing. Really, it is. And so the ultrasounds are $28 each. And if you would like to contribute, go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy. Well, you know you can listen to this podcast on any podcast platform. You can listen at sandyrios.com, my website. You can certainly go to afr.net, our home base. That's American Family Radio. And so that's how it goes. All right. Today is thick with information, so I hope you'll get, again, a pencil and paper. This is so important. And one thing I emphasize in this interview is that you cannot find this in general. You're not going to hear your news talking about it. Maybe Newsmax has, or One America Now. I'm sure some of those outlets have. But generally speaking, the American public knows nothing about this. Nothing. They can't find it through Google. And so that's why I'm telling you this is crucial. It's going to be happening in 3 months. In 3 months, all of our rights could be given to the World Health Organization. I don't want that to happen, and I don't think you do too. So let's listen to this edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.
From American Family Radio, Sandy Rios.
We are not called to be nice. We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
I think the most important thing we need to demonstrate to our children is genuineness. That we actually believe what we say we believe.
A longtime Fox News contributor, Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
Seek justice. Not social justice, but God's justice. What's right and what's wrong.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
We've got to say this is the line. Life is sacred.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up. Speak up. Say something. Do something.
An unhealthy planet means unhealthy people. Heat-related deaths among people aged over 65 years have climbed by 70% globally in two decades. Every year, 7 million people die from air pollution. Changing weather patterns driven by human activity and the burning of fossil fuels is contributing to record numbers of cholera outbreaks. And our warming planet is expanding the range of mosquitoes which carry dangerous pathogens like dengue, chikungunya, Zika, and yellow fever into places that have never dealt with them before. The climate crisis is a health crisis.
Sandy Rios with you on Sandy Rios 24/7. Well, that's the voice of Dr. Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus. I don't know his. I have no idea how to pronounce that. Most people call him Dr. Tedros because that's easier. But he's the head of the World Health Organization, and they have wonderful plans for us, wonderful plans. And a lot of it is just controlling our lives. It's frightening. It will be happening in May if we don't intercede. And I've asked a physician, Dr. Katharina Lindley, otherwise known as Kat. She is American-trained, board-certified family physician with a direct primary care practice in Brock, Texas. She hails from Croatia. She's the head of the Texas American Academy of Osteopathic Family Physicians. She's the president and founder of the Global Health Project and much more. And she joins us this morning. Good morning. Kat, do you mind if I know Kat, so I'm not sure. I'm happy to call you Dr. Lindley. That's what your patients call you, right? Okay. Kat, tell us about your practice. Seriously, what you know, tell us about your practice and the kinds of people that you treat.
So I'm a family doctor, but it's kind of interesting because before COVID in 2017, I finally decided to jump out of the system and open my own private practice, which is direct primary care. And it's membership-based practice, affordable, and allows patients 24/7 access to me. So it was kind of interesting during COVID because I was in private practice. I was a lot more open to really freely treat patients and not worry about, you know, what's happening in the system.
Yeah. Well, of course, I've heard this story before, but it's new to some people. But because I've gone, you know, I've heard you at these Dr. Malone conferences that I always go to about the pandemic, the COVID pandemic. But that's just that's just part of our story here that we want to tell, and that's actually how I met you, Kat. First of all, personally, how long have you been in this country? You're from Croatia. How long have you been here?
Oh, it's been, I think, almost 30 years, and I still have the accent, which is, you know, one of those things I'll never get rid of. Funnily, I have an accent when I speak Croatian. I have an American accent. So either way, I get kind of a little bit, you know, made fun of.
Well, let me ask you, you went to school here for your medical degree. And yes. When did you first get alarmed about the American healthcare system?
So, you know, even before President Trump, I was very concerned with this push to go towards Obamacare. You know, I call it universal healthcare, Medicare for all type of medicine. Because when you do something like that, you actually open up space for socialism and eventually communism to come in. you create this huge bureaucracy, and then you create government who is in charge of the health. If you really think about it, government essentially could potentially decide how long a population lives. And that's something that we've seen in Canada. And I kept on telling my friends in UK that NHS is the same thing, but they were all ever so proud of it, and they kept on pushing back until COVID happened, and they realized how broken this government-run healthcare systems truly are.
Wow, it's been I'll tell you, I grew up in this country when we had the best healthcare system in the world. And it wasn't perfect, but it was wonderful. And as you know, people from all over the world have flocked here. And leaders of governments come here for treatment. People from Canada, with their beautiful socialized system, come across this border to get their surgeries and their treatment. So that's what we have had. We've been very blessed, but things are changing. And things are going to change a whole lot more in May if we allow the World Health Organization to grab control. And so we had to talk about that. If you can... This is complicated, but we'll lay it out as best we can. What is going on with the World Health Organization, and what is it that they want to do that's going to affect us?
So during the pandemic in 2021, heads of states and different member states of WHO got together and said, we need to have this new pandemic agreement because something like this is going to happen again and we need to be better prepared. So, when you look at it, you're like, okay, well, it makes sense to be better prepared. But what ends up happening is they currently are negotiating two documents at the same time. There is something called Pandemic Treaty, and they changed the name to that. Now they call it an agreement. At one point, it was an accord. It was also called CA++. And I'll explain why this name change kind of keeps on happening. So we have, and I'll call it Pandemic Treaty because that's what it is. So Pandemic Treaty, and then you also have these amendments to international health regulation. Now, international health regulations were passed originally in 1969 and then adopted and changed in 2005, and then little changes in 2022, and now they're doing these big changes in 2024 we are now. What is significant about international health regulation is that they are international law. We have already signed on to this. When they make changes and add amendments, once WHO approves them, the country actually has to physically opt out. If we do nothing, then we just agree with everything that was passed. So international health regulations are very dangerous, because the current administration is negotiating, loves them, and they will not opt out of them. Whatever it will come down to us, and we will have to deal with them.
Okay, before we get into the details of what that means, that already sounds terrible to me. Of course, I've talked about this before on the air, but people are listening. They're not hearing this, Kat. You know that. When I was researching the last couple of days, I've talked to Frank Gaffney, both our mutual good friend, about this a number of times. But I was trying to find information just in general, by Google, and it's just almost impossible. You have to know what you're really looking for to find something. So people are clueless. I couldn't find news reports about it. Very interesting to me, and just need to underscore that. The World Health Organization is part of the UN. It was birthed out of the UN. Is it still part of that system?
Yes, so that's exactly a very significant statement you just made. It is, and I keep on telling this in kind of mom talk, right? World Health Organization is a child of United Nations. It's a health arm of United Nations. So these things that we are negotiating now with World Health Organization, really the directives are coming from United Nations. And that's significant because if you look at the Agenda 2030 or the new Pact for the Future that United Nations is going to be pushing on us in September, this all has to do with global governance, and this is why we are right now in alarm over what's happening with the World Health Organization. One of the things I want to say, when it comes to the amendments to international health regulations, you're 100% right. No one talks about it. There is nothing in the media about it. Everything is about pandemic treaty. And pandemic treaty truly is a treaty. What does that mean to us? If it's approved by the World Health Assembly, Then it has to go to our Senate to be ratified. And this is where the name change comes in place. The reason they keep on changing the name to it and now they're calling it an agreement is because they are trying to do what Obama has done with the Paris Agreement. Paris Agreement was a treaty, but President Obama said, no, it's not really a treaty. We used to have that climate change thing that we passed years ago. This is just an amendment to it or addendum to it or whatever you want to call it. But that's not true. Paris Agreement was a treaty. The pandemic agreement is a treaty, which means it needs to go to our Senate. But I do feel that this administration will kind of do the same play that Obama did and say it's not really a treaty, it's just an agreement, we're just going to sign it, it's not a big deal, and try to sign it. What happens once you sign those things, and if you go on their website, and if you go and look up pandemic agreement in under United Nations website, you will see that it says internationally binding agreement. So we need our senators to actually wake up. Stop telling me that Constitution is going to protect us. It will not. They need to do their jobs. They need to write a letter to Biden's administration and say, whatever you do with this pandemic agreement is still a treaty and you better send it to us to be ratified.
Yes. Well, Senator Ron Johnson has been working on that. And we'll get to the guts of what it means in just a second. And a treaty, as you said, Kat, it needs three-fifths of the Senate to embrace it, and they're trying to bypass that. Now, the House has made a strong statement against this. In fact, they've refused funding of the World Health Organization in one of their latest big money spending packages related to national security. But the Senate is feckless on this, and we're pretty worried about this because we have a bad, for the most part, the Senate is just not performing. We have isolated people who are really champions, but then we have the leadership of Chuck Schumer, which is a disaster. I would say the conservative coalition of the Senate has grown, but still not big enough. It's still not big enough. And so this is an uphill battle, and it's a very serious battle. This this pandemic agreement, you have to kind of break this down. I guess, you know, make it a user-friendly, Kat, like you just said, like your mom talked. What's at stake here? Why are we so upset and worried about this?
Okay, so I'll go back to something that Tedros and all of these head of states who are behind the treaty are currently saying. They're all saying that the pandemic agreement, the pandemic treaty, is not going to attack our national sovereignty. Because what happens, they're looking at this in a vacuum. And that's why I always say, for those who follow me on Twitter, I say, notice that they always talk about pandemic treaty, the agreement. They never talk about amendments to IHR. But what I want your audience to understand, these two documents work together. Now, while the language in pandemic treaty may not say specifically that they're going to attack our sovereignty, and if anything, they kind of say the country will still remain sovereign and be able to make their own decisions. That's really a lie, and I'll walk you through why it's a lie. In the amendments to international health regulation, there is something called Article 18. Article 18 says that if there is an emergency somewhere in the world, and WHO thinks it's an emergency, the director general, so this one man, can call in this public health emergency of international concerns. Once he does that, he gets a whole set of new powers. And some of those powers are he can dictate what type of treatments, diagnostic, medical exams, doctors can give to the patients. He can say that we have to use certain vaccines. He can order quarantine, isolation, border closure. And then if you read a little bit later in that article, he can also impact the trade in that area. So I would venture to say, first of all, it's an attack on individual sovereignty because you have WHO telling your doctor how they can treat you. And if the doctor doesn't comply, there is Article 44 that tells us that our member states need to censor dissenting voices.
Yes.
So you have this, So you have an attack on national sovereignty, individual sovereignty, and then you have attack on national sovereignty. How? well, he's closing our borders and not letting us do trade. What do you think that is? If you have the supranational agency telling a country you need to close your borders and no one could go in and out, that's an attack on national sovereignty. And there's many more examples, but that's my favorite example and the easiest one to explain.
Yes, so to be clear, I think, you know, because we went through the COVID nightmare, people will be more receptive to believing this. And also understanding that what happened with our healthcare system is that certain medicines, doctors used to have autonomy about what medicines to use with their patients. And during COVID, that changed. You could not give ivermectin. You could not give hydroxychloroquine, which were two notable, internationally known, wonderful treatments for all kinds of things. But you had to give these directive drugs, and many of them, like remdesivir, did harm. It actually killed people. And we have the same thing going on right now. So just wanted to emphasize, that's what we're talking about here in part. The other thing, Kat, that I've heard people expand this to is that Tedros decided that he wanted to impose this Article 18 and declare a health emergency around the world. It might even somehow dictate gun control if he says that violence, gun violence, is a national health emergency. Is that your understanding?
Exactly. Yeah, they're not wrong, because he can truly say, you know, and we have kind of seen every time there is a shooting, you get, the Democrats and that side saying this is a health emergency. There is already signaling that many things can be used for you know, whatever they deem to be public health. That's what it is, public health emergency. Public health, as we all know, according to, you know, different sides, they consider gun violence a public health. Climate change, to them, is a public health emergency. So yes, there is a huge concern that this can be weaponized in many ways. And, you know, obviously, I don't know if you saw this, but I posted on Twitter yesterday, there was one case of avian flu in a Texas man. So anything can be an emergency, and especially as we're getting closer and closer to the elections. Can you imagine this being passed in May and then our administration signs off of it? The beginning of June, and then, you know, mm-hmm. September, October, month before elections, we have another public health emergency. Our borders are closed, and we have to do mailing ballots because, hey, we can't actually go outside and vote. So we all kind of see the writing on the wall, and yes, we need to be ready for it.
You know, it's funny. I live in Florida, and I just heard a news report yesterday that there have been, I don't recall how many cases, but leprosy. They've diagnosed leprosy here in this in our state. And we know that this is coming from, it has to be coming from outside our borders, because we have pretty much eradicated these communicable diseases in our country for many years. It's really shocking. And so there's another health emergency potential. Vaccine passports, is that part of this deal?
Actually, it is. And that's also concerning. So in June of last year, the World Health Organization made this big announcement that they really loved the digital vaccine passport that European Union used during the COVID, and they're going to adopt it. So they have adopted it. So if you combine the vaccine passport with the things that I said, like border closures, not being able to travel, because that's going to be one of the things that he'll be able to decide. And you look at what the United Nations is doing with their CBDC initiative. So you have, you know, digital vaccine passport, you have CBDC, and lo and behold, what comes next? Social credit score, the same thing that China is doing. You know, these are not conspiracy theories. This is all out there for us to read. Go on United Nations, read the Pact for Life. Go on the World Health Organization, read their, you know, pandemic agreement and the amendments to international health regulation. Read European Union policies. You see that all of this is connected, and we are headed towards global governance. Why do I speak about it? Why am I out here talking to you and putting my career on the line and all that, right? Because I grew up in communism. I understand how close we are to losing what the American dream is. And I have 5 children, and I want each and every child of mine and everyone else's to have the opportunity to live free and have the American dream. So I hope that your listeners, you know, hear what I'm saying and do whatever they can to inform their legislators on what's happening.
Kat, I guess I've never talked to you about that. I didn't realize. I know you have a great story. I didn't know what it was. But it's money. I have not lived in communism, except I've been in communist countries. I lived in Berlin during the Cold War, have been in Russia during, you know, when it was still the Soviet Union. I was in China many times, and I've been in North Korea, as a matter of fact. There's something about communism that you can smell, taste, and touch. There's a commonness and a darkness and an eerie, icky horribleness that you pick up when you've been near it, don't you think? It's like you just smell the hot breath of totalitarianism. On Tedros, do you know much about him, Dr. Tedros?
Yeah, so, you know, there are reports and articles about him being part of a terrorist Ethiopian group, I believe it is, and the Ethiopian government was looking in censoring him and taking action against him. Interestingly, he was backed by China when he took over, and ever since then, it seems like he's untouchable.
Yeah.
You know.
Yes.
Those
well,
are
my
observations from things I've read.
Yes, and I would add to that from my reading. Well, from my hearing from mutual friends of ours, he was the head of the communist group in Ethiopia. He was the communist leader there. So yeah. I just want to be clear about what's happening here, and that's why. One of the reasons why President Trump, one of the first things he did was withdraw the United States, or defund the World Health Organization and withdraw from their tentacles. And now President Biden thinks this is just great. So we're also talking about censorship, because I have played a clip earlier in the show with Tedros saying that we want to stop memes and disinformation. He's saying this in his Ethiopian accent, you know, memes and disinformation. So we're talking about controlling speech and all of these things. It's very, very dangerous. So let's get back to the practical, because you are practical, Kat. What can people listening do? What is their defense of to this?
So Florida actually passed a law, I believe, a year ago regarding the World Health Organization. I think the only drawback of that law is that the leadership could potentially, you know, reverse their intention towards the World Health Organization. But even then, it's great that they have it on the books, and it's a, you know, strong enough bill that Governor DeSantis signed. Currently, there is a SB 133 in Louisiana, and this is really encouraging, because it was passed 37-0 with two people being absent for the vote. And the reason it's encouraging is because it was bipartisan vote, and everyone voted to not allow World Health Organization, WEF, or United Nations jurisdiction in Louisiana. Now, that bill is going to the House. We're hoping that it will pass through the House, and I do know that Governor is looking forward to signing it. There are some other states. New Hampshire tried passing a bill, but it was held in the House. I know the South Carolina is working on stuff. So there are other states that are doing things, and you can go to doortofreedom.org, doortofreedom.org, and look under their legislative tab to see if your state has a bill. And if they have a bill, I recommend that you call your legislators and tell them to support it. There is also federal legislative tab there, and you can see the bills from Chip Roy and Senator Mike Lee to defund the United Nations. There is also Representative Biggs' bill to exit the World Health Organization. So those type of bills do need to be supported. And I do know on federal level, we're not going to have much movement, but at least, you know, sending a signal to the administration is always a good idea. The reason we are pushing for states to do this is because of the 10th Amendment. 10th Amendment states that the health care of the citizen is under the purview of the state and not federal. So this is the way the states can try to put at least a barrier and say that whatever comes from the World Health Organization will not be considered by their agencies to be acted upon.
Let me get the spelling.
I urge everyone to do that.
Kat, let me get the spelling again, because I want to make sure. Door through, T-H-R-U or T-H-R-O-U-G-H?
No, door to, T-O, I'm sorry, oh. It's my accent. So door to, T-O-freedom.org.
Okay, great.
And
all right.
And I have to also mention our friends and ask them part of Sovereignty Coalition. So sovereigntycoalition.org is where you can sign the Align Act that will send a message to your legislators on a federal and state level. So sovereigntycoalition.org, that's with Frank Gaffney and Reggie Littlejohn and many others. We're all working actually pretty much every day on this.
Yes, because it's getting so close. Do you feel, are there other champions in the Senate, or is Ron Johnson kind of by himself on this?
So Senator Mike Lee is actually awesome. I love Senator Lee. I follow him on Twitter, and he's one of my favorite to watch his tweets after a bill is passed, because you can tell by his mood if he liked it or not. So Senator Mike Lee is very strong. I believe Rand Paul as well, because he's very much interested into gain-of-function aspect of what's happening, and this treaty would make gain-of-function even more relevant. It's like you said, the conservatives are the ones that are more on top of this. We don't have huge, strong leadership, I would say, in the Senate. It's a little bit stronger in the House with Chip Roy and Representative Massey. On federal level, it's one of those things. Nothing will happen with the current administration, so it's just political games and games at this point.
I would say that this, we're in the election year here, and it's not just a president we're electing. We know where President Trump stands on this, but there are all these other offices, congressmen, senators. They should all be asked where they stand on the World Health Organization. They should,
yes.
Each of them should be asked that question.
And that's a huge point. Thank you for actually reminding me of doing that, because I agree with you. I totally feel the same way. Each and everyone should say, are they for it or against it? And if they say they don't know, then they're abandoning their duties, because this is a huge attack on national sovereignty. We cannot allow an supranational agency to even have a whisper of a say of what's going to happen in this country. And if they think that Constitution is going to protect us, if that's the answer they give you, that means they haven't read it, they have no clue what's happening, and they're just being ignorant about it.
Yeah, dangerously
ignorant. Because I wish the Constitution would protect us, right? I truly wish it would, but it will only protect us if they use the tools that Constitution gave us. The problem is they're not using those tools.
Right. Well, they're just disregarding it. They hate the Constitution, most of them, Katerina. They've tried to get rid of it. They have coalitions to do away with the Constitution. So this is where this is springing from. And, of course, we have a communist leader in Tedros who's determined to radically transform the United States of America. Sounds like some other guy from an African country that we know. But anyway, Dr. Katerina Lindley, it's a pleasure. And if people want to avail themselves of your services, how could they find you?
So for those who are in Texas, my website is lindleymedical.com, and you can go on the website, send me a message. And if you're not in Texas and you would like to find a position similar to me, you can send me a message and I'll try to help.
Okay.
Otherwise, I'm on Twitter as well, under KL Veritas, V-E-R-I-T-A-S.
Okay, KL Veritas, at KL Veritas. And then the other thing is Lindley, and it's L-I-N-D-L-E-Y, lindleymedical.com. Kat, it's a pleasure and a privilege. Thank you for all of your hard work, both on COVID. I've seen you just pour your heart into making things right, and now here you are on this World Health Organization. It's stuff that you know really well, but putting your life on the line, your future on the line, your reputation as a physician on the line to do this. And I just want to say God bless you. And thank you, Katerina. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a great day.
All right, you too. All right, Sandy Rios on Sandy Rios 24/7.
This is Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
You know, in regard to the globalists, One of the things that we have learned is that they really do not respect human life. They just don't. They don't care how many people die, adults or children or babies. They feign their concern for our welfare all the time. Really, they are part of the eugenics movement, and that means weeding out populations, cutting down, you know, for the good of the planet, more people need to die. That is really where they stand. I'm not exaggerating. And so we have an opposite viewpoint. We believe life is sacred because we serve a God who created life and has taught us through his word that human life is sacred, and especially the innocent life of the unborn. And that's why we are trying to encourage you, and so many of you have. I shouldn't even say it that way. I don't have to encourage you very much. You're just so generous. And so some of you may not be on the same page, but most of you are, and I thank God for that, because you really are saving babies' lives through the ministry preborn. If you have the means, I wonder if you would consider a leadership gift to save babies in a bigger way. Your tax-deductible donation of $5,000 will sponsor Preborn's entire network for 24 hours, helping to rescue 200 babies. To donate, all you have to do is go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy. I want to thank you for your continued generosity. And that means even $28, if that's all you can afford, that's generous. You know, man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. God knows your heart. So I want to thank you for your generous giving, no matter what the amount. It's preborn.com/Sandy. Hi, this is Sandy Rios, and I miss you in the mornings. But now I'm hosting a podcast, Sandy Rios 24/7, which is available at afr.net and sandyrios.com. Well, I finally finished that book. God's Velvet Hammer chronicles God's call in my life, from a small town girl to Berlin, Germany, Radio Moscow to North Korea to Washington, D.C. I talk about Sasha Girl. It was my disabled daughter. I talk about I've Got the Music in Me. That's a chapter on my music life. Lost in India and Other Adventures is hilarious. You won't want to miss it. I talk about my sweetheart, The Blessing of Bruce. And then a mysterious chapter called My Green Face and the End of It All. Oh, I think you'll enjoy it. Like the Apostle Paul, these are my shipwrecks and my adventures. All for Christ and his kingdom. God's Velvet Hammer is available wherever books are sold. And remember, Sandy Rios 24/7 is available at afr.net and sandyrios.com.
The theme of this meeting is where globalism goes to die. It will not die of natural causes, ladies and gentlemen. It must be killed. And if it is to be killed, it has to start somewhere. This is the battle where it starts, to prevent the World Health Organization, an organization that, as you may have noticed, during the recent unpleasantness of the COVID pandemic, demonstrated not only its incompetence, but its malfeasance, its subordination, as Brandon has just said, to the Chinese Communist Party and its line. It was as a result of this advisory body telling us that the virus came out of nature, a wet lab, that it was not really very communicable, and that, among other things, what we needed to do in response to it was what's come to be called the China model. The lockdowns, the social distancing, the mandates of various kinds, including jabs with so-called vaccines, as you'll hear from Dr. Malone and others today, that are actually more dangerous than the disease itself.
Well, that's the voice of our good friend Frank Gaffney. You heard him many, many years on my morning show doing his Secure Freedom Minute. Frank is a champion, and this is another thing that he's been championing. Sometimes the lone voice, but not the lone voice anymore. You can hear his passion, and thank God for Frank Gaffney's passion. We're going to be talking about this some more. We talked with Kat Lindley, Dr. Lindley, about local governments getting involved in this, and you heard that Florida, Louisiana is close to passing something. There are other states considering, too. That may be our only hope if the Congress and the Senate doesn't step up to the plate. You can also use social media platforms to share information. I want to mention again two websites, thesovereigntycoalition.org. Sovereignty, sop, you have to spell that, S-O-V-R-E-I-G-N-T-Y, coalition.org. And you can sign an align agreement. You can also find information that you can share. And then, of course, Kat mentioned another great source for your legislators. It's doortofreedom.org, doortofreedom.org. And, of course, you can share this podcast, too, with your friends. Put it on social media. Get the word out in the 3 months that we have to stop this. All right, I've asked my sweetheart, who always joins us at this time. He was listening with me to that conversation with Kat, and I just wonder what stuck out to you, honey?
Well, I think there's a number of things. To go probably to the most pressing issue coming up is we've been wondering what, if anything, will be done to try to affect the November presidential election. And I think we have a blueprint in front of us that if trying to jail President Trump or run him out of money doesn't work, then here it comes. The same thing that happened in 2020. If this, whatever you want to call it, treaty or agreement goes into effect, I assume what the game plan will be of the Democrats is if Biden is behind or whoever their candidate is, they will go to this plan where all of a sudden a pandemic is threatening us. And
or gun violence. Because it might be violent this summer, so they might do that.
And it's probably going to be a very violent summer, unfortunately. And they will pick a reason that we have to declare an emergency. And, of course, the byproduct of declaring an emergency will be, well, we can't have people going to the polls because it's too dangerous, either because of violence or disease. So what are we going to do? Well, we will have mass mail-in ballots. And we saw, we don't have to speculate, we saw in 2020 the inability or the refusal by government officials to monitor what goes on with these mail-in ballots. And this election, once again, could be in danger of being manipulated.
Well, and then the irony is that the candidate that wins, which would be Joe Biden, the recipient of that, is fully embracing this. So that even if it didn't pass in May, it would be reinstated. And the candidate that wants to get rid of it would be the one who would be not able to prevail. So, look, we don't know what the future holds because really only God knows. God could interject and create, you know, he can perform miracles, but he could also work through us. I kind of think he does work through us. Does anybody doubt that? And so this is a time when you need to act. And I think, you know, sharing this information, certainly go to the Sovereignty Coalition and sign the Align Act, get information, share it with your friends, and then contact, you know, any candidate that you're supporting, any candidate that you know, ask them what their position is on the World Health Organization. And as Kat said to you, if they say, oh, well, the Constitution will protect us, that's a red flag that they have no idea what they're talking about. And they need to either go to school or you need to not work for them and not vote for them. So,
you know, if you look at the history of the United Nations, which this is really coming out of, the people there always rely on the United States for funds, but yet they don't want us to have much input as to what goes on.
It's just terrible. It's also a joke, the UN.
Yeah. I mean, we have it headquartered in New York City, but yet most of these countries don't even pay their share of rent, of operating expenses. But yet they want us, again, to host them, to fund them, but then to be quiet. So you can imagine it's like a little kid that is jealous of a big kid and he wants his toys. And so that's what you have here is people like Dr. Ted who give us the guilt trip. They say, you have so much in the United States and the world has so little. And we know how these resources have to be allocated. And I can guarantee you people like Dr. Ted that are run by China are not looking out for the welfare of the world. They're doing China's bidding, and they're actually against us.
Yep. I want to just, this just now came in my inbox, Bruce, and I feel compelled to say this before we say goodbye today. This is from the Sovereignty Coalition, and they are rebutting disinformation that's being spread that the World Health Organization poses no threat to our national sovereignty. And so they are refuting this in detail. Let me just give a few of these. Dr. Merrill Nass is a member of the Sovereignty Coalition. He's a frontline doctor sanctioned by Maine medical authorities for defying Tedros earlier and also malfeasant advice during the COVID-19 pandemic and founder of the Door to Freedom. All right, so he's rebutted. Merrill, I guess, is a, I'm not sure if it's a man or a woman, so I'll just say that, that this doctor has rebutted these things. Okay, here it is. Dr. Ness says, of course, the WHO will usurp our sovereignty. When the WHO can give orders to nations, require nations to pass laws, to enact the WHO's directives, and the WHO can commandeer supplies in one country and move them to another. It's clear the more than 100 places in which existing international health regulation language would be changed to add the compulsory word shall, the surrender of national sovereignty is absolutely baked in both the amended international health regulations and a separate but related pandemic treaty. And it goes on and on. And as a matter, I'm going to find a way to tweet this today because I'm going to try. It's a news release. But if you go to the Sovereignty Coalition, you can find it. But this is, and there's a lot more points to that I don't have time to make with you. But this is serious, serious stuff. Contact your state, whoever you know, your state reps, all of them. It's this, the states really are the ones where we have some hope. And so you might want to put your energies into that. And also, of course, by sharing this on your social media and letting your friends know what's going on here. We have to stop it. So any final thoughts, sweetheart?
Well, I just ask you to bear in mind that these are other countries that are trying to control us. And you think of the corruption that there is in so many countries that are heavily involved in this. And I'll tell you, if that doesn't make you step back and say, these people do not have our best interests in mind, I don't know what will.
Yeah. We used to know that. It's like the international court controversy in the 90s where some of our more left-leaning presidents wanted the international court to come in and judge our soldiers for their way they worked on the battlefield. Obama was one of the first ones to really allow that to happen. This is a disaster. We used to know better, and somehow we've lost our collective mind. So let's stop it, okay? That's my final word to you. All right, thank you so much for listening. You know you can call us at 662-821-2040. You can write me at sandy@afr.net. You can listen on any podcast platform. afr.net is our home base. You can go to sandyrios.com and listen very easily. All right, thank you for listening to this edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.